A Wednesday morning, 8:51 a.m. means WNCW's More to the Story. I'm your host, Paul Foster. Joining me this week is WUNC education reporter Liz Schlimmer. Liz, welcome back to our program.
Yeah, happy to be here.
We'll discuss two of your recent stories for WUNC today. Let's begin with public schools have fewer vacancies this fall, but it's because many districts cut positions. So let's start with the positives about this story, the fact that for what seems like years now, we need more teachers in our K-12 schools in this state.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I and other education reporters have been tracking for years, and it's also something that the North Carolina School Superintendents Association has been tracking for years. Coming out of the pandemic, they realized that this was a real issue at a lot of school districts across the state, and they started sending out a survey to all the superintendents across North Carolina asking, how many vacancies did you have on your first day of school? Of course, first day of school is different districts. But this year, every single one of the superintendents responded, and they have several years of this data from this survey and found that, hey, this year was a lot better. You know, teaching vacancies were down by about a third. Central office vacancies were down by about 40%. And that sounds really great, but unfortunately, there are still a lot of vacancies. The other thing that was kind of surprising was the reasons why they might be down are not all great reasons.
I certainly want you to go into more about this because we just talked about how refreshing this is that the teaching vacancies are down, but the reasons for some of this not so positive.
So what they are supposing has happened is that many school districts across the state had received a sizable amount of federal COVID relief funding. Many of them were encouraged to use this to hire staff, support staff, mental health staff, literacy staff, and that money is now entirely gone. And so what a lot of districts may have done is cut positions that they had temporarily added. So they have fewer positions overall. Also, a lot of school districts are losing enrollment. They have fewer position allotments from the state. They have fewer positions. And what the School Superintendents Association thinks might be happening is some of those educators may have been moved around to fill other vacancies. That's good because the crucial teaching vacancies might be getting filled, but it's not necessarily that more people are coming in through the pipeline. It's that people are being moved around and the total number of positions may be lost. I mean, I think it comes down to the loss of other positions, though, the loss of that federal COVID relief money that was used for other positions, the fact that many school districts have falling enrollment, the number of positions they're expected to have is going down. What we're not seeing is necessarily like a huge bump in people becoming teachers or especially coming out of teaching colleges. We are seeing an increase in what we call residency licensed teachers. That's, I would normally say, like someone who's transitioning into teaching or is an alternative license or has done an alternative license is what we used to call it. Essentially career changers. We're seeing an uptick in those folks, people who have always been interested in teaching, but might not have a bachelor's degree in it. That's going up. We're also seeing some districts turn to international teachers, but what we're not seeing necessarily is like a huge bump in people going to our North Carolina universities to get a bachelor's degree in education.
From WNCW, it's More to the Story with Liz Schlimmer, the education reporter with WUNC. Let's move to topic two with the headline, students say North Carolina's new school cell phone ban takes adjusting to but has benefits. All right, share the details and reminders when this ban was implemented by the state.
So this is a new state law. Many school districts have tried to start it out this fall of having cell phone restrictions or cell phone bans for their students. They're actually, the districts are all required to have this in place by January. So some of them started out this fall. But I actually went to a high school in Wake County that was ahead of the curve, decided to implement this proactively last year, even before their district or the state required it. And so that I could kind of talk to students about, okay, what did this look like after you got used to it? What did this look like over the course of a year? And I interviewed two students who said, you know, it was tough at first. some of their classmates were more resistant than others, maybe arguing with teachers or hiding their phones because they were asked to put their phones in a pouch at the front of the room at the beginning of every class. And so they said some people were putting in like their old phones and keeping their actual phone in their desk and still using it. But they said ultimately it took about a semester for it to become the norm and for everybody to kind of accept this and for them to start appreciating the benefits themselves. They and their classmates are more focused in class. They're talking about the material more. They're talking to each other more. They're collaborating more rather than maybe just Googling something or putting it in ChatGPT. And the other thing I found really interesting is one student, her name is London, so a high school student, and she was saying that she feels less anxious in class without her phone. And she was surprised by this, but that she used to be thinking about all the time while she was in class, which of her friends might be texting her. You know, she has friends at other schools who might have different passing periods and different lunch periods. Who could be texting her? What notifications might she be getting on her social media apps? And just by putting it away, it's like cleared her mind a little bit to think more about what's going on in class and not worry about that. And she was like, and now that this is a statewide policy, she doesn't have to think about it because she knows that it's the same for all of the students in her district and in other districts.
I'm actually surprised by the responses of many of the students you spoke with for the story, that they seem to be not in such a bad place by not having their cell phone at their desk. And while they're participating and interacting better with one another, what about the actual educators, the teacher? Did they feel like class participation by the students had increased?
Yeah, so the principal was saying that, you know, she's taken a lot of feedback from teachers and they're very happy with it, that they feel like students are more engaged, that they're paying attention more, that they're talking to each other and engaging in class conversations more, and that that's an important part of learning. I also happened to be in another Wake County classroom just yesterday. That teacher was telling me he loves it. He's got books in his classroom and he's got games. Now when kids maybe finish their work early or have a little bit of free time at the end of class, he's trying to get them to like pick up a book and read it or pick up a game and do something other than check the apps on their phone.
We have discussed just a bit about North Carolina's new school cell phone ban. Before that, about public schools having fewer teaching vacancies, but they're still concerned, written by Liz Schlimmer. Liz, for those that would like to read the entire stories and also follow other stories from your colleagues at WUNC, what's the best way to do so?
Probably following WUNC social media.
Again, she's with Public Radio WUNC, Liz Schlimmer. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Visit online wncw.org for podcasts of other More to the Stories. I'm Paul.